Welcome, everybody. Good morning. It's wonderful to see you all. Did anybody else wake up Saturday morning and go outside and take a deep breath and say, "Thank you, God, there's no smoke"? I did, and then I sent my kids outside because I was like, "You guys are tired of being trapped in the house." So we have a lot to be thankful for this morning. The Lord is good, and we continue to remember and lift up in prayer those who are affected by all the fires. So let's continue in worship this morning.
Thank you. Jesus, we worship you. Jesus, we lay our earthly crowns down at your feet. We adore you this morning, God. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for suffering on our behalf. We thank you for redeeming us, Holy Father. We thank you for seeing us as your sons and your daughters. We thank you for your love that never fails us. And Jesus, I ask that you continue to speak to us, speak to each one of our hearts this morning and throughout the day, Lord. May we be reminded of you. Help us to live our lives fully devoted to you. That whatever we do with our hands, may we bring you glory. Jesus, we're your people called by your name. We live for you. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for meeting with us. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would continue to have your way this morning and throughout this day, Lord. To you be the glory and the honor and the praise. In the most holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Isaac, thank you for praying. All right, turn and wave and greet those around you, even though you can't touch them. Two things that I'd like to bring to your attention. Reverend Rick Dietzman is doing an adult Sunday seminar this morning. It'll be in the adult portable. If you want to Zoom into that opportunity, you will find the Zoom link in the Friday SCC newsletter that I usually send out, although Rick sent it out this week. You can log on after 10:15 this morning. That class will happen right after this service at 10:15 and then again at 11:15. The other thing I would invite you to is to be a part of our all-church prayer opportunity this afternoon. We're going to meet here at 3 o'clock. You can join by Zoom. And again, that link is on the Friday pastor's letter. You can also watch it on live stream. Christy and Isaac and a few others will be here leading us in music. And then we will have a time of prayer together. So please be a part of those two things today. Lots is going on. Please check the website. We are fully open and we are up and running. Children are on campus both on Sunday morning as well as in the midweek. I can say that. And so we're doing hybrid opportunities for most of the major things. So if you're staying at home, we still want to stay connected with you. And if there is something we can do with you, one person needed a little more help in being able to Zoom someone new to the church, so we fired off somebody to their house to help them with their computer in their home so that they can be a part of things. It's great to have you with us today. It's great to have those of you who are on the live stream with us today. I hope you feel as a part of our gathering this morning as we would like you to feel. And so let's jump into our scripture passage. It's a video, and it's Nancy Vance from Port Townsend.
Good morning, church. The reading today from Romans is coming to you from Olathe, Kansas. Oh. Romans 10, 8 through 15. That is the very message of faith that we preach. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord, who gives generously to all who call upon him. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, "How beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news."
We're talking about deep faith. Today we're going to talk about deep believing. I'm a person that feels right now I could use a lot of help going deep, because there seems to be so much around me and so much happening even in my own circle and in my own mind, heart, and soul. I feel like I'm on a very deep dive. I've been on a very deep dive. You'll see this is the blue hole in Belize. It's 135 feet deep. As you can tell, it's a giant cylinder. It's deep enough that you spend a lot of time getting there, only a little bit of time on the bottom, and then a good amount of time coming back to the surface, because you have to do several decompression stops on the way up. One of my friends gave me a book, The 100 Best Dives in the World, and it's divided easy, medium, most difficult dives. This dive is the very last dive mentioned in that book. Now, this will tell you how crazy I am. I got certified to be a scuba diver the day before Grace and I did the blue hole. 130 feet is how far I went. A deep dive. Deep dives are very scary. As you go on a deep dive, it really does help that you know your equipment, you know the rules of scuba diving, and the big thing, have somebody leading you that's been down there before. And that's what we have in our faith. I think Grace, did you show Grace and I? Here we are underneath the water. We're actually at a shark feeding. That's a little shark over there. And I got into scuba diving because she got certified, and for her graduation present from college, I wanted to surprise her so we could scuba dive together. We have a very good leader in Jesus when it comes to deep life. He provides us with very deep faith. And with all that is going on, I feel in over my head. All that was going on before the fires was plenty for me. Now the fires are happening and the smoke has come our way. And to me, that's just created more weight, more emotion, more frustration in life. We're in deep, and so we need deep faith. Here's how Jesus summarizes the goal of deep faith. "For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." Now, John 3:16 says that God really didn't make the first move. He sent Jesus to us. But he also points out that faith, deep faith, is about believing in him. And I can tell you, when you get beyond about 100 feet going down into the blue hole, you need to have a lot of faith in the person, the dive master, that is taking you to the bottom. And as we deal with deep life, we can know that Jesus is the very best one to lead us in life and faith and to eternity. God did this because he loves us. And he calls to us and he wants us to believe in him. Christianity is a believing faith. If you're with us today or you're with us on live stream, I hope you believe today if you've never believed before. That you take this opportunity to realize that God loves you and he does not want you to perish. But he wants you to spend eternity with him. And it's true, eternity is chosen, determined, identified by Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Why? He was the one and only Son of God. He was the God-man. He was total God and totally human. Look at his life. He experienced everything we do in this human world. Yet in his death, he was resurrected. And in his resurrection, we're promised resurrection. Deep faith in Jesus Christ for really good benefits. Number one, it's great to know that all of our wrongdoings are forgiven. I believe I'm a lot like you. I know God wants to forgive certain things in my life, but you know, there's some things I'm thinking maybe God might not want to forgive that. Everybody, including me, have pet peeve sins. Those are the ones that you give to Jesus, he forgives you, and then you kind of sneak around one day and you pick it back up. And you find yourself sinning in the same old way. It's old nature. Let it die. Put on the new nature. That's what makes us alive. And there may be things that we don't want to forgive in other people. Perhaps there are things that we think we're a repeat sinner and at some point, God's going to get a little frustrated with us, and he's going to fold his arms, and he's going to say, no, I'm not forgiving you this time. Yet that's not who our God is. We are made right in God's sight when we trust in Jesus Christ to take away our sins. And we can all be saved in the same way, no matter who we are or what we have done. No matter who we are, no matter what you have done, God is so gracious and so merciful, he will forgive you. And I understand the hard part of that. The hard part is not really that God would forgive us, it's forgiving ourselves. It's forgiving someone else. So it doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter what we've done. And there may be an ethical difference to the different ways that we sin, but in God's eyes, because he's holy, he's ready to forgive everything and anything that we will confess to him, that we will be honest with him about. It's easy to be embarrassed when you're going to God for confession. But God does not shame us. God does not guilt us. In fact, he's come to take away the shame and the guilt. And what a great benefit. What a great benefit for us. What a great benefit to know that we can have a relationship with Jesus. And yes, he wants us to be transformed and changed, but he knows where we live. He knows the challenge in what we live. And instead of condemning us, what he wants to do is save us. Benefit number two is we get to know and learn God's purpose in our life. It is Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. So, how would you answer those two questions? Who are you? What are you living for? And those are great questions to ask, and it's fun to listen to people's answer to that. When you're at a gathering or a party, at this point, 6 feet apart. I'm a guy, so I want to define who I am by what I do for a living. And you may be very good at what you do, but what you do for a living is not who you are, men. You prove that to yourself when you retire. Oh, I don't do what I did before. Now who am I? Now who am I? Who are we? We've talked about that over the last several weeks. We are new creations in Jesus Christ. We are God's children. We belong to the family of God, and that's a right here, right now family, and that's an eternal family. You are stuck with me forever. You are stuck with me forever. Because we belong to a forever family too. And as we move through life, there's no greater way to make our way through life than understanding who we are in Jesus Christ and his purpose for you and for me and for us. No matter how deep we go, we have Jesus in front of us. We have Jesus alongside of us. We have Jesus behind us, pushing us into the things that scare us to death. He doesn't want us to be fearful. He didn't give us a spirit of timidity. That's the RSV. He doesn't want us to be timid. He doesn't want us to be scared. He doesn't want us to be fear-driven people, and we shouldn't be. We shouldn't be because God is leading us. Jesus is leading us. And as I mentioned, he has a purpose for you that's custom made just for you. Just because it's custom made by God, it doesn't mean there aren't some bumps in the road, curves in the road, some hills that have to be climbed in life. Yes, they do. But they have a great purpose. God directs us and empowers us for a reason. He is expanding and enriching his kingdom through us. And so there is a place for everyone on God's team. He's gifted you in a way, shaped you in a way, that you have a great add-in to our gathering, a great add-in to our family. In fact, you're really irreplaceable to God. Irreplaceable in what God wants to do. Irreplaceable to us as a part of our family. The third benefit is that we get empowered for daily living. We can experience God's power on a daily basis. You will begin to understand. You will begin to understand. Will we understand it all in this world? The answer is no. But just because we can't know everything right now, right here, that doesn't mean we stop being a learner. We don't stop making progress. We don't throw our hands in the air and sit on the sidelines. There are no spectators when it comes to what God is doing except for God himself. We're on the team. We're on the field. He is watching us make things happen. His things happen. His eternal things happen. Part of the overall purpose, he is working out in everything and everyone. God's desire is that everyone would be a part of the family of God. Not everyone will. Not everyone will respond to God's call. But remember, Revelation, God stands at the door of our heart and soul, and he knocks, and he doesn't call your neighbor's name. He calls your name. And he's been going door to door, soul to soul, for thousands and thousands of years. He wants us to know his forgiveness. He wants us to know his purpose in our lives. And he wants to empower us to do the things that he's calling us to do, to carry out his plan and his purpose in this world. The fourth big benefit is that we are guaranteed eternal life. Anyone who believes in me, even though they die, they shall live again. They are given eternal life for believing in me, and they shall never perish. Believing in him, that's the difference on whether we perish eternally or not. And he gives us a guarantee. I went to speak to a man that ran a manufacturing plant for tractors in a foreign country. He was on hospice terminal. His daughter asked me if I'd go in and talk to him because he wasn't a Christian. And so we carried on a conversation, and one day when I was praying about him and what I was going to say, I got this Holy Spirit idea. I want to go talk to him about warranties and guarantees on tractors. And I asked him, when you built a tractor, did it come with a warranty? Oh, yeah. And I said, did it really come with a guarantee? Really, your name is on that tractor, and you're going to guarantee that it will do what it's supposed to do for someone who purchases it? And he said, yes, that's very true. And I said, we have a guarantee and a warranty in Jesus Christ. We're guaranteed that we will have a full life, John 10:10. In John 3:16, we have a warranty that says we're made for another world. That the real life to live is not the life we're living now, it's the life that we live up ahead. And we know that because we get glimpses of heaven all the time. We feel what it's like to be united and empowered by the Holy Spirit. We grab a hold of those times, don't we? Yeah, we do. See, the warranty is given by the manufacturer. God made you. And Jesus gave his life so that you will have life. And it's good not only now, but it's good for all eternity as well. Deep faith, there are great benefits in having a deep faith. Deep faith is really about trusting in Jesus Christ. When Grace and I went down into the blue hole, we had great faith in the dive master leading our dive. And all we really needed to do, because we had been checked out and our equipment was good, is trust that he knew what he was doing. When he said, go down, you went down. When he said, slow up a little bit, don't go down so fast, then you slowed down and you didn't go. When he said on the way back up, everybody stop here for 3 minutes, you stop for 3 minutes. Jesus, in the same way, is trustworthy. And he tells us, descend, ascend, not so fast, over here. Hey, by the way, don't miss this. This is awesome. Did you see that? Did you experience that? Trust is first and foremost about turning over everything to Jesus Christ. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is my Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And if you've never asked Jesus to be the leader of your life, then believe today and ask him. And confess, maybe you're at home all alone, put your head out the window and tell somebody. Maybe you're with some other people in your home and just turn and look at them and tell them that you confess that Jesus is your Lord. That you understand that in his resurrection, we have resurrection. That's the doorway to eternity. It's the pathway to eternity. Again, I don't know if I trust everything to Jesus. There's a lot of things I trust to Jesus. I know I have to keep doing that. The process of sanctification is giving all that you know of yourself to all that you know of Jesus. You're learning more about yourself and you're learning more about Jesus. My life is not static either. And I find that there are things regularly that I need to turn over to God. I'm changing. Man, the world I'm living in is changing. We always think there's some dark things, some bad things we can't turn over to Jesus. Remember, he forgives all of our wrongdoing. All of your wrongdoing. And so there isn't anything that we can't turn over to Jesus. He's worthy to be the Lord of everything from the boardroom to the bedroom. Your vocation and your avocation. He made it all and he knows how to lead it all. You'll just let him lead. Let him lead. That's the T. The R is to relax in God's love. Nothing will ever be able to separate us from his love. Nothing. Nothing. When you're diving, you have a dive partner. My dive partner was my daughter, Grace. The rule is that we're supposed to stay in close proximity to one another on a dive. And there are rules of what you do if you get separated from your partner on a dive. But I can tell you this, you do not want to get separated from your partner or your dive master when you're at 130 feet on your very first deep dive. With my partner and with my dive master, I can relax. And I did. I had a lot of fun. It was awesome. It went so well that when I got to the bottom, I was surprised we were there. Yeah, 130 feet. It was cool to sit at the very bottom of that cylinder and look up. And you know, it looks about the same when you're at the bottom as it does when you're looking at it from the top. This looks like this big blue hole. Because of who I was with, I was able to relax on a very dangerous dive. You have a problem at 130 feet, you got a big, big, big problem. Again, it's who you're with. We're with Jesus, we're with one another. And so instead of being uptight, instead of being fearful, we have to learn how to relax. God is going to take care of things. Nothing, not smoke or riots or, I won't go very far because then I'll get in trouble. All of this stuff cannot separate us from the love that God has for us. In fact, these things are not even going to thwart the ultimate will of God. He is in control. He's the Alpha and the Omega of us and the world. And so, chill out. Relax. Don't worry so much. Don't fret so much. Don't be so stressed out. And I'm stressed out. I got to tell myself. Relax in God's love. Use your life to serve God by serving other people. See the connection? If we really want to serve God, that's gonna flesh itself out in our fleshly relationships with other people. It's going to be serving people in the circle and people outside of the circle. It's going to be people we know and people we've never met before. It's going to be people as close as across the street and as far as the other side of the world. Serve them. God has made us what we are and who we are. I added that. And in our union with Jesus Christ, he has created us for a life of good works, which he has already prepared for us to do. TV version. He has something for us to do. It's not just a spur-of-the-moment thing, but don't believe that God doesn't work in the spur-of-the-moment, because he does. But see, he's had big plans for you for a long time before the world was put in its place. He was there when you were being knit in your mother's womb, and as you made your way into the world, you began to be the person God created you to be. And in confessing Jesus Christ as your Lord, you're confirming that. And in your confirmation of that, now you are on the team. You are a part of the body of Christ. And God is going to use you. God does use you. Why? He has a purpose and a plan for you. He prepared it. It's custom made just for you. Use your life to serve God by serving other people. That shows your trust in Jesus Christ. S stands for suffering. You will suffer for doing what is good and right. It comes with the territory. Here's a challenging verse. For you have been given not only the privilege of believing in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering with him. Oh, I don't know. That's not why I became a Christian. But see, the truth is to do all the other things that we've just talked about in our faithfulness to God and to one another, it's not all going to go easy. It's not going to all be interpreted correctly. And so, saying what's on your mind, speaking about how you feel, acting in this way and refusing to act that way, you're going to pay a penalty for that. And that penalty is going up all the time. all the time. We will suffer as we seek to serve people. We will suffer as we seek to share the good news of the gospel. Oh, it's good news. What are you so upset about? It's good news. It's never been more challenging to be a Christian in my lifetime than right now. And I lived through the 70s. Right now. There is some suffering. There's some sacrifice. Last but not least, trust what God says. Trust His word. For the word of the Lord always holds true, and everything He does is worthy of trust. It always holds true. In fact, there are very few things that you encounter in the world that you will not find written in this book specifically. And where there isn't a specific instruction about something, there's a very good general direction that you ought to head. And why is that? Because God knows what it is to live here. He knows what we need to know. He wants to lead us away from the difficult, and He wants us to move us towards this heavenly realm. Really, what does God tell us to do that's bad for us? And yeah, it's true. He lists a few bad things and says, stay away from those. But the Word of God is written in such a way that God knows we want to obey what He has to say. Trust that is true. And the challenge simply is just put it into play in your life and see what happens. Put it into play. If God says to do this, He makes promises. If you do this, then this will happen. Put it into play and see what happens. I dare you. See, I can challenge you there because I know it's true. I mean, I know it's true in a big T truth, but it's also little t true for me because of God leading me in my own life, God challenging me in my own life. Reading the Word of God and allowing it to not only fill me, but challenge me what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, what I'm doing. Deep faith is believing faith. My prayer is that you will believe today. Let us pray. Holy God, you know where we hold back, where we think we're not good enough, where instead of replacing how we think and what is Lord of our life, who we are and what we're doing. Instead of replacing that, what we want to do is just add you on. But yet that's not what it is to allow you to be the Lord of our life, the Savior of our life, the leader of our life. It is to take all of who we are in this moment and give it to all that we know of you and receive all that we know of you. And what we know is true, that in that divine transaction, as we confess that you are the leader of our life, we change forever. We change for good. Lord, your graciousness and your mercy towards us is absolutely amazing. And we're thankful that it's not just what you do, it's who you are. Allow us, Lord, to give us who you are. Give to you the things that we're holding back on. Give to you the things that we think you don't want to have anything to do with. And as we do, Lord, with your With your Holy Spirit power, help us to feel that we are truly forgiven. And that your love reigns and it reigns in us. We're thankful for your word. It is a lamp that guides the way for us. It equips us for every good thing. It reveals who you are and what it means to be in a deep faith, believing relationship with you. Lord, we pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Let's stand and sing this together. From the grave you rose.